23. Once out of sight of the bungalow, Sebastian halted the column. Sitting beside the footpath, he sighed with relief as he removed the weight of the metal helmet from his head and replaced it with a sombrero of plaited grass. Then he eased the spurred boots from his already aching feet and slipped on a pair of rawhide sandals. He handed the discarded equipment to his personal bearer, stood up and, in his best Swahili, ordered the march to continue. 3 miles down the valley, the footpath crossed the stream above a tiny waterfall. It was a place of shade, where great trees reached out towards each other across the narrow watercourse. Clear water trickled and gurgled between a tumble of lichen-covered boulders, before jumping like white lace in the sunlight down the slippery black slope of the falls. Sebastian paused on the bank and allowed his men to proceed. He watched them hop from boulder to boulder, the bearers balancing their loads without effort, and then scramble up the far bank and disappear into the dense river bush. He listened to their voices, becoming fainter with distance, and suddenly he was sad and alone. Instinctively he turned and looked back up the valley towards Lalapanzi, and the sense of loss was a great emptiness inside him. The urge to return burned up so strongly that he took a step back along the path before he could check himself. He stood irresolute. The voices of his men were very faint now, muted by the dense vegetation, overlaid by the drowsy droning of insects, the wind murmur in the top branches of the trees, and the purl of falling water. Then the soft rustle beside him, and he turned to it quickly. She stood near him, and the sunlight through the leaves threw a golden dapple on her, giving a sense of unreality, a fairy quality to her presence. "I wanted to give you something to take with you, a farewell present for you to remember," she said softly. "But there was nothing I could think of." And she came forward, reached up to him with her arms and her mouth, and she kissed him.